wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. I got a quick question for you as we start this hour. Did everybody enjoy watching the NBA Finals last year with LeBron not in it? Did you enjoy that? You know, a little Golden State, Toronto. And I know we had the injuries, and we had Kawhi Leonard's great performance, and the Raptors won the championship, and Drake celebrated and all that. But did you enjoy LeBron not being in the Finals? Because if you did, you might as well go back to the tape and remember the good old days, because he's about ready to start another run again. Lakers win last night over the Clippers 112-103. But if you really just want to look at the whole weekend, it's once again LeBron reminding us how really, really good his team is. Look, you can look at the Western Conference and you can go, look, it's the Lakers are just on top of a whole bunch of really good teams that are all capable of winning the championship. And you wouldn't be wrong. You really wouldn't be wrong. Right? The Clippers are just as capable of winning this title as anybody else. But let's pause for a second and just contemplate the weekend that was for LeBron James and the Lakers. In the heavyweight matchup on Friday night with the best team in terms of record in the NBA in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, he beat them by 10. Last night, he beat the Clippers 112-103, beat them by 9. These are the two of the best teams in the NBA, and LeBron is going through these teams. And rather well, I should add. With him and Anthony Davis pacing themselves, this is going to be yet another return to the finals for LeBron James and the Lakers. Now, it's not a bold statement because he's the best player, right? It's not a bold statement because he's got another one of the best players in Anthony Davis. But it is when you look at how good the Western Conference is. This isn't like the East, where it was LeBron and everybody else was really trying, and maybe, just maybe, the Celtics could get on top. But LeBron would always find a way. This is going to be a different trek through than he is used to. But he is still going to do this. This weekend is yet another reminder who the best player is and who the best team is. And we can make cases for everybody else, but just to remind you that the NBA Finals always had LeBron in it, I really do hope you enjoyed last year, because you ain't going to see it again.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM again. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. Glad you could be with us. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So as mentioned earlier, listen, look, the whole LeBron James is the best player and he's reminding us he's the best player. Look, I don't want to go overboard here. Nobody forgot LeBron James was the premier player in the NBA. I mean, if you did, okay, shame on you, okay? We always knew when he went to Los Angeles, he was just playing out last year to sort of get a feel, to sort of bring in the people he wanted until he had the team. And now, he's got the team with the best record in the Western Conference. But beating these two teams, Clippers last night and the Milwaukee on Friday, is you just sit back and you go, look, this league still revolves around him, even when you feel like it's becoming Giannis's league, or the Clippers are finally emerging as the team that could dethrone a Laker run, right? I mean, look, the Clippers won the last two meetings with the Lakers. But last night, both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George played, and they played well. They just didn't play well enough to beat Los Angeles. And now the Lakers with LeBron, the way he has guided it, the way he has it, I find it very hard to envision a team beating them, again, regardless of injury, I mean, injuries always play the factor, beating them in a 7-game set. LeBron is a, we talked about this in October. The thing with LeBron is, you know, he wants a little bit more than just being the best basketball player. You know, he wants a little bit more, diving in a little bit more of it, of the entertainment, producing television shows and things like that, starring in a movie. You know, he wants to be a little more. He speaks out about politics, but the problem is when he did not speak out about what Daryl Morey pointed out in the China controversy back in the fall, the barbs that were thrown against him were real and they were legit. I don't care what the LeBron apologists say. They were legit. For LeBron, because when he ventures into every realm of the American political landscape, which is fine. You want to do that? Great. But then to be completely silent on what the NBA was doing, with the NBA's, the controversy with China, what Daryl Morey was pointing out about China, and how the NBA was silent on it, and LeBron was complicit in that. Those were legitimate arrows. But at the core of all of these things, political commentator, actor, television producer, at the core, he's a basketball player. At everything, he's a basketball player. And right now, he's got the best team. You can make the case for Milwaukee, but he's got the best team because he's in the better conference. And they're leading the better conference. And when push comes to shove, you'd find it hard to find anybody that will beat him in a seven-game series in the West. Now, I don't know, but, you know, again, I don't know about Milwaukee in a seven-game series. But maybe he gets through this West. It's going to be a little bit tougher because we know that. Because we complained about this for years, right? We don't get to go back on it and talk about, we don't get to wax poetically about how good the Eastern Conference was when LeBron had the super team in Miami and the team in Cleveland, right? We don't get to go back in time and go, oh, no, secretly these teams were really good. No, the Eastern Conference was there for the taking for LeBron and whatever team he was putting together, whether it was down in Miami or in Cleveland. And we know that. Right? Even Boston, as good as they were putting together, that was about it. Right? You know, there were just not any obstacles for him to go through. Now, it's going to be tougher in the West because whatever teams they're going to face, right? Maybe it's Utah. Maybe it's a Memphis team that's young and up and coming. Maybe New Orleans gets in this thing when they find their groove and sneak in. Dallas and dealing with Luka Doncic, right? Whoever, as they progress on, right? Every series is going to be really, really tough. But I still can't root against, I can't pull against them. I still can't choose against them. And this weekend was another just sort of validation to it. Now, I'm not going to crown the Western Conference champs like I did when they were in the East, because I still believe in the level of competition. But I think there was a statement that was made, and I think he made it. I mean, those two solid victories, and where he played well, and by playing well, and Anthony Davis playing well, they beat two of the top teams in basketball right now, in Milwaukee and the Clippers. And again, the Clippers had won the first two games of the regular season series. And the Lakers hadn't beaten the Clippers yet this year, and the Clippers didn't go in shorthanded. They didn't have anybody on rest, and LeBron again finds a way to get, you know, him and Anthony Davis find a way to win.
They were just getting things warmed up.
Warmed up.
The first two games of the series.
Right.
It is impressive, though, when you look at it from Friday to Sunday, the victories that they had.
Yeah, very good weekend. Very good weekend.
I mean, they got to be feeling good.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and I mean, they're picking off these teams, and some of these teams are excellent. Right? I mean, look, they beat a Boston team that's really good. Again, we talked about Milwaukee and the Clippers. Pelicans team that's up and coming, routed them by 8. Right? So again, it's not a reminder, but it's a refresher. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody needed to be reminded LeBron and the Lakers are great, and LeBron is great. Right? But it's a refresher. It's just, okay, I can get caught up in Giannis. I can get caught up in the Clippers. I can get caught up in Oklahoma City, for example, who I like, who's playing really good basketball. But in the end, this is LeBron's league, and this is LeBron, where LeBron has the Lakers right now. It's just a refresher that this is still going to be the Lakers conference when the playoffs begin. And if somebody beats them, they're going to have to beat him and Anthony Davis. And more power to you, as good as that conference is. Because listen, you look at the standings, right? You look at the Western Conference where it is right now. Clippers, Denver, Utah, Oklahoma City, right? There's one other team, right, that I said last week Do not let this one loss give you any indication as to where they're going. Let this play out a little bit, and now I'm concerned, and that's Houston. Houston once again found themselves on the losing end. They have now dropped four in a row, and once again, they lost to the Magic, Orlando, and once again, what was the culprit? They can't hit the three-point shot.
Because they live by it.
They live by it.
It's that old adage, live by the three, die by the three.
They're dying by the three.
They're dying.
They are getting slaughtered by the three.
Not even fun.
9 of 32 last night against the Magic, and they have now lost four in a row. So you won't be having Houston to kick around anymore if you don't figure out, they don't figure out a way to start knocking down some threes. But again, that's one of the big concerns is there's nothing else, right? Why don't you just guard the perimeter and see what happens?
I mean, that's
right?
It.
Make it a little difficult for them.
That's
pretty much the only way they're going to beat you.
Make them drive the lane.
Right. Make them drive the lane.
You know, almost challenge them or, challenge them and say, hey, go ahead. Take it inside because we're still going to beat you.
And Giannis is now hurt. Well, he's going to be out for a little bit.
Superficial.
I know. It's all. You know what it is? I always say this every time I get around this time of year. I love how we always have a few injuries around March before we get to the postseason.
Yep.
You know, well, it's a knee sprain. I don't want to say they're lying. Maybe it is legit. But trust me, when you get to this time of year, it's going to happen a little bit more in the next couple of days. You'll see a couple of guys sitting out with a sickness, sitting out with a shoulder tweak.
Finger sprain,
right? They're all chilling out until April. That's the way it's going to work.
Just waiting for one of them to go,
I got the corona. By the way, that is getting close. Isn't it getting, the news is just ratcheting it up on the corona.
Yeah, I'm waiting for empty stadiums.
Empty stadiums is coming soon.
They got to do it. Pull the trigger. NBA, MLB, MLS.
It is really hitting. I mean, everybody now is discussing this. Rob Manfred had to reconfirm that Major League Baseball is going to be starting on time.
Well, not only that, but what was it? Like the decree yesterday is like, hey, you know, telling, or not yesterday, but last week, hey, guys, don't shake hands with fans anymore. And one of them was like, well, I'll still sign autographs. Maybe I'll just bring my own Sharpie.
Right? I'll bring my own Sharpies, right?
Because, I mean, it's
unbelievable.
I mean, I know you were riveted over this weekend watching a lot of soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
But
yeah, I'm totally in.
But one of the things that, I mean, if you can, YouTube it, check it out. You know, even next weekend when it comes back, the Serie A, the Italian Soccer League, is being played in front of empty stadiums.
Empty stadiums!
I mean, it's just for the month of March. That's as far as they went. It's like, for the month of March, we're just going to play in front of empty stadiums. And it's actually kind of fun. I mean, it's weird not having the crowd noise and people chanting when a goal scored and, you know, all the singing that normally goes on during a soccer game. But you hear players talking to each other.
That would be kind of cool.
And that part is kind of fun. Like, you know, I mean, obviously you can go ahead and air it for television because a lot of it's not safe for work. But, you know, you don't understand what they're saying unless you speak Italian.
What do you think would be the best sport to watch without the crowd noise, where you could hear
golf
players discuss? Yeah, golf.
I think, you know what? I think football.
Football? Yeah, I was thinking football.
Because
that's my first thought.
Because we never get that. I mean, we're always overly hyped on getting people mic'd up. Although, I got to say this. I think Major League Baseball needs to continue mic'd up players.
Oh, that's that's been a great experiment.
Are you kidding? If you're looking for some way to make it fun, and it's not, you know, it doesn't seem to be that intrusive to their performance on the field.
No.
This has been fantastic.
Oh, it's been totally fun. Completely. And the players who know they're mic'd up are having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
This makes it great.
Who was it? Chris Bryant, the rookie of the year?
Yeah. Yes. It was great.
He was sitting there at bat going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. it has been hysterical watching.
See, I think football, when you really mic up the players, right, they occasionally have a guy where they show you, listen to him, and he's like, and they're running around the field. But I'm talking about where there's no crowd, you can really hear the play, really hear the quarterback call the play, and really get an idea.
You can hear the lineman calling. Calling out the
because you can hear it in the broadcast, like you can hear it, but you don't really hear it. Like it's not an isolated noise. It's noise coming through the mics with the crowd screaming. So sometimes it's muddled. It's not always crystal clear what the play call is, but you don't hear a lot of the responses on the defensive side. If you had that crowd absent from that, and you could really hear the call of the quarterback and really hear the way the Mike linebacker is setting up the defense based on that, and that, I think that would be fascinating. I think that would be great. Now, here's the deal. I'm not trying to enjoy sports because of the coronavirus, so I want to make this clear, but I'm trying to find a silver lining, I guess, because everybody's freaking out.
I guess the only bad side to football, say NFL or college, guess it would have to be on a delay, maybe a lot of silence from.
Oh,
time
I
to
think
time.
So. Yeah, that's the other problem. Yeah, just kind of making sure.
Like in baseball, you know, those guys. I mean, there's no reason they don't really talk to each other, talk to the opposing team or anything like that. Basketball, I think it would just be annoying.
See, if they mic'd me up, if I was like an outfielder in Major League Baseball, I would just be singing songs under my breath while I'd be out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be out in right field, and I'd just be like, "When you're in love with a beautiful woman, it's hard." And then the announcers would be like, "Is he singing Dr. Hook?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, yeah. What is he singing?" And I'm like, "I don't know, just something that was on the radio on my way into the game tonight. Just repeating some random song that's in my head." They'd have fun with me. I'd be out there singing some 80s tune or whatever. And it would be like a name that tune situation because I'd just be humming under my breath something until the fly ball came. And then I'd be freaking out. That would be great. Mic you up. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. All right, coming up, I want to get back to football because the XFL did something I thought the NFL needs to do immediately. That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. Glad again that you're joining us here on a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. Goodness, the weather is now starting to turn.
For the better.
I love it. It's turning for the better. By the way, can I just give my this is my biannual rant?
Yes.
Stop complaining about daylight savings time and moving the clocks ahead or moving the clocks back.
But look, guys, an hour of sleep, Tony.
Right. Stop complaining about it. Listen, I know it's inconvenient. I get it. Nobody likes losing an hour of sleep. Nobody. I get it. But the reality of it is, where do you want the extra sun? Like, well, you don't need, no, I'm sorry. You don't get extra sun. I'm sorry. The earth is just going to do its thing and provide more sunlight as we go into summer. Where do you want that? Do you want it in the morning or do you want it at night? Because if you want it in the morning, we don't have to change the clocks. We'll keep it at standard time and you can wake up at 4:30 in the morning and see the sunrise. Great. Take it. But do you want it at night where you are out in your patio at 9:30? Okay, because either one, take a pick, all right? Because if you leave it the way the clocks were, standard time, you're going to get an earlier sunrise where you're sleeping anyway, or you can have it at night when you're on your patio having a cocktail and it's like 9 o'clock and you're like, wow, it's still light out. You can chip golf balls at 8:30 in your backyard or attend your kid's sporting event till whatever. It's a small inconvenience. You lose an hour of sleep. I understand it's a problem. Your body adjusts to it during the week and you're fine. I personally love longer days. I love them. I love golfing until like 8 o'clock, 8:30. I love that. I love going out in my backyard and hanging out and it's still light out. I love it. I don't want it to be up. I'm up early for this show. I see the sunrise no matter what, but you don't want to see the sunrise at 4:30 in the morning whenever it's coming. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Have the sunrise coming like 6. Everybody's getting up for their busy work day. Yeah, enjoy the night.
And you know what? No one can really, you can't really enjoy a sunrise. I mean, it's always romantic. to enjoy a sunrise. That's how, but that's how it's always shown, is romantic. It isn't just a normal guy going, you know what? This is fantastic.
Oh, I know.
I love being up this early in the morning.
Take a sunset, because that way you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Right?
Take a sunset. That's...
I know we live in an outrage culture now, and everybody wants to complain about everything. I get it. But I've told you, listen, I don't remember anybody complaining about this when I was younger. Only until social media started kicking in that we felt like, yeah, let's complain about this until the high heavens. How dare we move the clock?
Well, you know,
how dare we? Why are we doing this? This is so stupid. You know what? It may be stupid, but you know what? I like getting the light at night.
You know what we heard growing up? What we heard growing up was people just complained just for that short amount of time of losing that hour of sleep.
Sure.
And, you know, just for this week only, maybe not even the whole entire week, probably Monday, Tuesday, like, man, it was, you know, it's so hard to get up.
All the days, you know, unless you're a church-going person and your mass starts at 8 or 9, where are you losing the hour of sleep?
Yeah.
Like, none of my friends work on Sunday. They sleep in. That's a day to sleep in anyway. So if they sleep in and it's 10 instead of 9, they didn't care.
Hey, our overnight guy was excited because he got off an hour early.
Yeah, right? I mean, of all the days, it's not like you lose an hour of sleep on a Tuesday. Now, if you work on Sundays, all right, unless I'm sympathetic to your cause, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But a majority of people, when I hear people, my friends say that, I go, well, what did you have to get up for? And they're like, oh, well, you know, church started at 11. I'm like, oh, okay. So instead of going at 10, like, what are you talking about? Or whatever time it is. Like, whatever. Like, you're fine. You're okay. You know, you lose an hour of sleep. Yeah, you lost an hour of sleep on a Sunday morning. By the way, speaking of church, really quick, I had a dilemma. I had a dilemma yesterday. Real, real bad dilemma. So, you know that friend of mine that always asked me for advice?
Yes.
So yesterday I was at church with my family
and he
texted me.
Oof.
And the games were starting soon because we went to the late service because, hey, you know, extra hour of sleep.
No,
so we went to the
lost
we went
an
to
hour
the,
of sleep.
Lost an hour of sleep because, you know, so we went to the lat, you know, I was like, man, I'm getting to go up early. You know, we just wait till, you know,
yeah,
let's go 11:30. But 11:30 to me is 12:30 to him. So he was getting, wanting me to get the early games, the early college basketball games yesterday that we're playing. I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm sitting there, the preacher's yapping about something, and I beep, and I look down, he's like, Ohio State, ? Now, I have two choices. Do I give him gambling advice while the pastor's doing the sermon?
Yes, because then you can immediately repent right then and there.
Right?
I mean, so, kill two birds with one stone.
So here's what I do. I get the phone, I shield, I try to move my shoulder, so my wife can't see me texting.
Because that's the only person you're worried about.
Rob, no, no doubt.
Not your fellow neighbor.
Yeah, the old lady behind me, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Right? She might go, he's talking. Whatever.
You're not worried about the pastor calling you out?
Nope. I do the shoulder turn where I'm trying to block, but it's a recognizable position. She doesn't even have to see me texting on my phone to know that the shoulder turn is an indication I'm doing something. And she taps me on the shoulder. And then she elbows me to the side. And I whisper, JoJo. And she looked at me like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And I go, I think Michigan State's going to win at home. He wants to take Ohio State. Michigan State's playing really good right now.
Must advise.
Yeah, he's going to take the Buckeyes. So afterwards,
hey, be honest with you. Okay. For the longest time, we always go to late service because getting three kids up that early in the morning just ain't happening.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Sunday.
Same with me.
But during football season, I need to check my fantasy football.
Of course.
Because games start at noon. I'm in church at like 11:30.
Course.
I can't be screwed over like that.
No, I can't lose
my week. God understands.
He gets it, man. You got to drop a player really quick because you found out it was game time decision.
Game time decision.
Right? You got to make that adjustment.
When does game time decision happen? During church?
But I don't know, man. Giving your friend gambling advice while you listen to a sermon? That better not be a one-way ticket to HE double hockey sticks, man. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. And again, basketball season is in full swing. Talking about LeBron and the Lakers, and of course the NCAA tournament's coming up. Conference tournament week. So get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can start betting college and pro sports. Every spread, every total, every winner, every loser. Straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season, even those prop bets on the table. Get a 50% welcome bonus when you go online to betonline.com, and you can also use our promo code SBNation55, that's SBNation55, to get that welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so the XFL did something really, really cool this weekend. So the game against for the Seattle Dragons and the Houston Roughnecks, Houston won by a score of 32-23. Yeah, they go to 5-0 on the season. But here's what made it interesting. At the end of the game, PJ Walker, the quarterback for the Houston Roughnecks, took a knee on fourth down, okay, with 2 seconds remaining. However, the game finished out. The clock ran down to zero, and the Roughnecks won the game. Even the announcers at ESPN realized that this was a mistake, that the clock should have stopped the moment his knee hit the ground, thus giving Seattle a chance to have the ball and a chance to go do something with it. Only get it 2 seconds remaining, but still had the chance. Now, again, improbable, sure, but still the right call would have been giving the ball to Seattle with 2 seconds remaining. That's the rule of the game. Walker's knee hit the ground, 2 seconds are on the clock, turnover on downs, it's Seattle's ball. Here's what the XFL did. They immediately came out and addressed it. They immediately came out and said, this was wrong. They came out and pointed out that, no, there should have been 2 seconds on the clock. And they reassigned the head official in the game. Now, I know the NFL likes to protect its officials, right? They really don't like going down that hole and throwing the officials under the bus. And maybe you think that this might have been a little harsh for the XFL to come right out and say, our guys made a mistake. But it's that kind of transparency that I honestly think, and truly, I mean, I honestly think the NFL needs. It was a problem with the pass interference non-call in the Saints-Rams game, how little the NFL really wanted to – it's not like they could correct it. That's not what I was – you know, they didn't need to go back and get the play. Like, the XFL didn't do that. The XFL knew there was a mistake immediately. They didn't call the teams back out on the field. They didn't call the teams back out to replay it. But at least they came out and said, hey, guys, that's it. You know, we made a mistake. Look, we're not going to cover this up. It was an error. We apologize. We're working and we're going to try to get this better, but we made a mistake. Our officials made a mistake. And I'd like to see the NFL do this. I'd like to see them implement that same kind of thing.
I know, it was kind of nice.
It was nice.
I mean, you know what? And we're okay with the decision. We're like, yes, you did make a mistake. We move on.
Right.
No rule change needs to be made. No committee. No fan needing to take the XFL to court.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. And listen, I mean, I don't know how many Seattle Dragon fans were losing their minds over this. And what I mean,
well,
I don't know if it's on that same level. But
a long list of lifelong Dragon fans,
right? But at least they are doing. They went down the right path. And listen, if you're the NFL, you don't have to borrow everything from this new league, but there's two things that I think you really need to look into. Look into the kickoff, the way the XFL does the kickoff, by not allowing any movement until the ball is, you know, received. And two, this, just this idea that you're catering to the fans' need to have things explained. I tell you, the NFL with gambling becoming more and more accepted across the board, I think is going to have to kind of look at the way they need to talk to fans about certain things that happen in a game. Explain things a little bit more. Explain things a little better, and be willing to take, you know, to die, you know, to jump on the sword when you have to do that. Right. If the officials make a mistake, come right out and say, look, I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings here. I don't want these officials to feel terrible when they go back to their families. But my God, that was atrocious. Right. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you guys have family and friends, and but good God, what were you thinking? I think it's a little bit. I think it's really take it.
I just find it fun because it would have been a really fun opportunity to just see what would happen. Because had Seattle gotten the ball back with, what, 2-3 seconds left in the game and scored a touchdown, could we have actually seen a 9-point play tie the game?
Yes, right.
How fantastic would that be?
That's right. Now, that just to clarify, they would get 6 points for the touchdown, and yep. Then there's a chance for them to get a 3-point extra point by putting the ball at a certain position on the field.
Yeah.
To go for it.
I mean,
but that's... that's another thing I wouldn't mind, the kind of crazy scoring.
Yeah,
but
chances are Houston was going to win that game
no matter what.
I mean, yeah, you know, and I think it's just great. Now, the only thing I'm curious about now is where was that guy reassigned?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. Like, when they say that, is he gone to Siberia or something? Or, like, did they...
We know Vince McMahon likes to fire people.
Right. You remember like how in like movies, they'd always tell some federal agent that he's going to Alaska?
Yep.
For doing something wrong?
More recently now it's Greenland.
Yeah, Greenland, right, or something like that, where they just go, oh, you're going to get reassigned to like, where did he get reassigned to?
I know. They're a lower XFL league we don't know about?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like,
he got sent back down to the minors.
You know, surprised he didn't, Vince McMahon didn't come out and, like, I don't know, just yell at him publicly.
Does Vince McMahon bring him out on Raw tonight?
Right. Exactly. So here's a statement by the XFL, just in case you're curious how they presented this. Saturday's Seattle Dragons, Houston Roughnecks games should not have ended as it did. That's right off the bat. Right off the bat, they're going, boom. Done. Replays showed clearly that the knee of Houston quarterback PJ Walker touched the field, rendering him down, and the fourth down play officially completed, with approximately 2 seconds remaining on the clock, effectively turning the ball over to Seattle on downs. With a 9-point differential in the score, Seattle was denied an opportunity to tie the game. The XFL sincerely regrets this error. Again, they didn't correct it. They didn't say, get back on the field. They just said, look, it's a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. We apologize. Everybody continue along. But at least if you're Seattle, you know that it has been addressed by the league. If you are a diehard Seattle Dragons fan and you're ticked off that those 2 seconds could have resulted in some game-tying play, miracle in Houston, at least you know the league had your back. Rather than sometimes when the NFL goes, yeah, well, I mean, you know, our officials do a great job week in and week out, and, you know, they can't get everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the excuse they almost give you on a daily basis when there's something wrong with the league.
God, it just feels like...
we're trying, but you can't call everything.
It just feels like when things like this happen, the NFL is sitting there just, you know, hand over face and just going, oh, man, I can't.
Yeah.
We got to start doing this now.
I know,
Our
right?
fans are going to demand it. We lived a great life before this.
Yep. And now the XFL is showing us how we should really operate. You know, I give a bunch of credit to Oliver Luck, man. I give a bunch of credit to him. I tell you, 5 weeks into this, and again, I know you've heard me say this a number of times. I know they wanted to go in a different direction than 20 years ago. Okay, so, but they really are doing it. This is football. This isn't a show. This isn't wrestling on TV with football. This is football. If you like it, you'll watch it. If you don't, you won't. And they're trying to put together a league. I know I say this every week because it just seems like every week I get more and more impressed with the way they're presenting it. Yeah, the football has to get better. There's no question about it. And look, if the NFL can't find 32 quarterbacks, the XFL ain't finding 8.
Right.
All right? But they got one.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, the football needs to get better, but we're talking about a startup league where there's really no interest by the top players.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you got to present the game itself, not the individual player. I mean, we've had a couple standout players that we can wrap our heads around and go, okay, you know what? But our comparison is this guy, you know, like take PJ Walker, for example. This guy could be second string in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's how we're saying it.
Totally.
But if this league has any amount of success and does keep going, we could be sitting there going, you know, having an NFL-USFL conversation again.
Could be. Could be a nice spring league, nice vote if they get some money behind it and whatnot. Remember, the USFL came out gangbusters. They got Herschel Walker right out of the gate. They got Doug Flutie. They got Steve Young. Right?
I mean, I know that. I guess that went.
Jim Kelly played in that league.
That's going to be the big rub, because when they have a draft, it's not going to be a convenient time.
No. Not at all. But you know what else is, you know, they don't need PJ Walker. They're not putting a mic in PJ Walker's face on the sideline when he's like yelling and screaming and, you know, talking about some defensive back for Seattle. Like, I told him before the game that I was going to throw to him, and he is too weak. You know, they don't need that. They don't need this artificial stuff. They're trying to create artificial drama. They are just like, look, playing football. We're hoping you enjoy this. It's nothing else. There's no other football going on. We're hoping you enjoy this. We think some of our players are good. They're worth your time. And, you know, we're going to continue to get better, and we're going to continue to try to improve this product. But enjoy the ride while it's here, because it's, you know, and that's basically all they're saying. But something like the way they handled that mistake, because I don't care what league, I don't care how you tighten your ship or whatever, you're going to make mistakes like this. This is going to happen. This is going to happen in the NFL too. You're going to make these kind of mistakes. But the way they addressed it, the way they brought it to the public, almost the second it happened. And look, Greg McElroy and Steve Levy were on top of it on the broadcast. They knew immediately something was wrong. They knew immediately the game should not have ended that way. And they addressed it. And good for them. Good for everybody involved. Excellent. That's the way I'm going. So good for them. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, as we continue along in the morning, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I just posted my poll question on Twitter that I asked earlier. Is it okay to text gambling advice to your friend while sitting in church? Yes or no? You can hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, because that's what happened to me on Sunday, when my friend Joe desperately wanted my Ohio State, Michigan State thoughts, but I was sitting in church, and because I normally go to the, you know, mid services, early, mid, and late, we went to late, and the game was starting. What can I do? Am I going to let him down? I did try to hide it from my wife, but, you know, she later said, I know what you did. It's like, all right, I get it. So anyway, it's my first poll question I've ever asked on Twitter. So do me a favor and respond to that, so I don't look embarrassing when people go, oh, that looks like a cool poll. Oh, look, four people responded to it over 2 days. Like, really, you know, help me out. So, all right. Big Mac on Twitter, if Peyton Manning was the NFL commissioner, he would have handled it properly. I think so, too. I think Peyton Manning would have done a great job, don't you? If Peyton Manning was commissioner of the NFL and that same situation with the Roughnecks happened?
He would have gotten it right.
You think Peyton Manning would have had a press conference?
Nah, he just would have released a statement.
No. Well, I think the problem was down, and you got to make sure there's enough time on the clock for the other team to try. It may be impossible, but you got to make sure they have a chance.
I mean, you know, maybe the reassignment would have been, what was that, United Way?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Peyton Manning was like, hey, he's got to join my United Way camp.
I don't want to look at you. That's funny. That's a great bit. Yeah. All right. So Roger Goodell could learn something from the XFL. Good for Oliver Luck. I feel like he's doing a good job. I don't know what a good job in the XFL means, though. That's my problem, right? Is it television numbers? Is it quality of football? Like, how do we know Oliver Luck's doing a good job? Is Vince McMahon telling him he's doing a good job, or do you think he's like, this has got to get a lot better than this? I have no idea what if this is good. Listen, in my world of Tony D, it's fine. He's doing a great job. Yeah, but I don't have $500 million invested in this thing.
Here's a staple that I think you know he's doing a good job. Not once have we heard money issues yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
When the... AAFL, right? God, it was just last right? year. The AAFL. Oh, yeah. By the midpoint, well, actually, not even by the midpoint. It was like after week two, week three, we were going, you know, they were just coming out saying, hey, anybody want to, you know, have a bake sale?
Yeah, exactly.
We're in trouble.
Does anybody want to invest in this thing at all? Like, I don't know, like by payday, we really appreciate it. Yeah, no doubt. They were putting out press releases when they made payroll.
Yeah.
Like the AAFL proudly states that you don't need a pay.
Well, it's like the first time they cut checks. Like, wait, whoa.
Yeah, wow.
We didn't factor this in.
Oh, man, there's really that many people on a team? You got to be kidding.
Because what, we're at week five, week six now?
Yeah.
And by that time last year, we were already talking about the demise.
Right.
We were already getting stories about, yeah, that's over.
That's when you know.
Guys are just left stranded where they travel to.
And there is nothing like, I tell you what, when my time in that basketball league, when we were on the road and I was like, are we getting home? Sure these tickets are legit? They weren't bought by some fourth rate travel agency.
Guess I could ride the bus home.
I know. Somebody
go find Dell, get some shower curtains going on.
The few times that I did travel with the team, and we didn't do all the games, but a few times I did, we took the worst possible flights.
Of course.
Like instead of a direct flight, like we took the flights that would be like, we got to go way out of your way to get a connecting flight to that city. And you'd be like, I could probably drive faster. The way we're going, I don't think we need to go to Denver to go to Detroit, do we? It was absolutely nuts. SB Nation AM.